Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, April 9th. A massive report from an outside consultant said the culture at Colorado's state capitol is unhealthy. Benta Berkland talked to State House reporters about the next steps as lawmakers try to make changes and figure out what to do.
We're joined today by Brian Eason with the Associated Press and John Frank with the Denver Post. John, what's your big takeaway from this report?
This is a 235-page report with 25 recommendations on how to improve the culture and workplace harassment policies at the Capitol. But the big takeaway from this report really confirms the reporting that culture is a problem at the Capitol when it comes to harassment. We have one-third of the people surveyed saying they've seen or witnessed sexual harassment. This is a pretty remarkable report and a pretty remarkable finding.
And Brian, a lot of different specific policy proposals, a new office of workplace culture and different ways of reporting complaints, different measures of confidentiality and transparency and who's in charge of complaints. It's going to be pretty complex for them to weave through all this and make some pretty tough decisions.
One of the things that lawmakers are going to have to grapple with is this isn't a normal workplace. I mean, the elected officials aren't beholden to a normal boss. They are beholden to voters. And we've kind of seen that play out recently with some of these expulsion resolutions. There's going to be a real trick for lawmakers to figure out how to balance transparency and confidentiality among a number of other issues. I think you'll also see potentially some partisan splits on the best way to handle this. I mean, we already had a partisan split over just who to hire to conduct the investigation. So I think there's going to be a lot of work ahead.
One interesting thing, recommendation here, is to move the investigation of complaints to an outside independent body. That has already created concerns from lawmakers. You know, they don't put it this bluntly, but they're asking really tough questions about whether they want to remove themselves from this policy. This policy currently allows lawmakers to police themselves, and it builds in that protection for political parties to try to protect their own. And some lawmakers already appear concerned about allowing that to happen and moving this to an outside body. Then there's the question of discipline. Under the Constitution, only lawmakers can discipline lawmakers. As Brian noted, you know, they have tens of thousands of constituents who are their ultimate bosses. But there is a role here for lawmakers to do something. And so it's going to be really interesting to see whether they're willing to remove this from the political process or whether they want to retain control.
There's also a pretty outstanding question of how much voters are going to be paying attention to this, how it's all going to play out, and how motivated lawmakers are going to be to fix this problem.
As the report was being released, you saw top lawmakers kind of wrestling with, well, this is a lot of stuff. Do we want to do this right now? Do we want to do this before the end of the session? Or do we need to come back to this summer? That's a departure from what we've heard so far. You know, early on in this process, there was a lot of pressure on both sides of, we need to get this done by the end of the session because we need to show that we are taking action and taking this seriously. I think after the expulsion resolutions went through for Senator Baumgardner and Representative Lebsack, that may have taken some of the pressure off leadership, but you know, there still is that pressure, and I don't think anyone really knows yet to what extent voters are going to react to this. We haven't had an election in the Me Too movement yet.
The lawmakers are talking about pushing this to the summer, to working groups, not even an interim committee, but something informal like a working group. There's also talk of bringing in the public and other lawmakers. So really, there's no clear consensus on where to go, except immediate action is not the best idea. They want to take a slow and deliberate approach. The problem with that is that some of these legislative leaders won't be here next year. And I'm not sure the next legislative leaders want to inherit a scandal from the prior session. This is a endemic problem, as the report shows. And one, it's not going to be easy to fix. And two, it's going to have far-reaching political implications.
Thanks, John Frank with the Denver Post, Brian Eason with the Associated Press. I'm Benta Berkland, and this is Capitol Conversation.
In part two of this interview, Colorado's 3rd Congressional District Representative Scott Tipton spoke to KDNK's Raleigh Burley about the $1.3 trillion spending package that passed in March and what the congressman plans to do to fight the opioid crisis.
I'm interested in knowing more about the omnibus spending package. I read that it was 2,232 pages, and you yourself said that it was rather messy. Could you go into why you voted for it?
We've been operating under continuing resolutions, probably for as long as many of us can now remember, which froze particularly spending for our military. Had the opportunity to be able to sit down with General Mattis, Secretary of Defense, noted that we have real threats right now coming out of China, out of North Korea developing an intercontinental ballistic missile, and they're obviously now a nuclear power as well. We have Russia, we have Iran. This isn't something that we can afford as a country for our national defense to delay on. General Mattis noted that 60% of Navy Hornets cannot fly because of maintenance issues. We've had ships because of training issues that have ran into each other, not only killing sailors and damaging the ships, but creating a lot of heartache for families who have their young men and women in harm's way.
And yet, it's increased by $76 billion, the money that's going towards the military, from $634 billion to $700 billion, which is far more than any other country. Would you say that the money is being spent responsibly and effectively?
Any bureaucracy, there is going to be dollars that could be better spent. I think General Mattis is employing programs to make sure that the dollars are getting to where they need to be to make sure that our country is safe, that we're able to deal with the threats that continue to grow around the world. In terms of comparative spending under the Obama administration, dollars going into the military were less, and that's where we're seeing four times as many of our service personnel died in training accidents as they did in combat this last year.
And this package also includes spending for the opioid crisis. What is your plan for improving healthcare access in rural America and addressing the opioid crisis in the 3rd Congressional District?
Well, we've held 10 roundtables. In fact, we have one up in Craig. We just passed the Alto Act out of the House of Representatives to where opioids were not the first choice in terms of treatment for pain. This will provide grants to be able to help local community hospitals to be able to deploy this as well. The other issues that we've heard at our roundtables and we've been supportive of is to make sure that doctors are aware of the use of opioids and how that's going to be impacting our communities, and to make sure that we don't have what they call doc shopping, to where you go from doctor to doctor to be able to get opioids, and that's going to be through some of the electronic medical records. We've seen positive steps again there.
Do you have any plans for an in-person town hall in the district?
Yeah, we're going to continue to try and line those out, given our schedule here in Washington last week and I think the week before. Telephone town halls, I think we've had, is it three in Craig already during the course of my term. We'll continue to be out in our district, and every meeting we have is virtually a town hall, sitting down with our folks, but we will be reaching out.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould.